broadcast. Our prayer is for the Word of God to transform you into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while simultaneously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread. Now let's get into the Word with Apostle Trevor Banks.
In Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, the scripture says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And here's one of his objectives. "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So before that great and dreadful day, there's a manifestation of the spirit of Elijah. Again, you know, Jesus, it was prophesied before when the Old Testament ended, and the spirit of Elijah appeared upon John the Baptist. But now it's going to appear again, and is appearing again on a body of people, the spirit of Elijah. And if you notice, each time Elijah was there, he was there to counter, combat, subdue, and destroy the spirit of Jezebel. With King Ahab and Elijah, when John the Baptist came on the scene, he spoke to Philip and Herod, and he had taken his brother Philip's wife, and he rebuked him. And he was so angry that his supposed wife was so angry that when Salome danced and they got the King Herod drunk, and a lot of the other nations' leaders were there with him, he told Salome, "Ask whatever you will, up to half of the kingdom, and it'll be yours." And his wife, who was still angry at the prophet, said, "Demand of him the head of the Baptist." And it kind of shook Herod, because he didn't want to do that, but he was among all the other kings. And if he didn't do it, then, you know, as it goes with kings, he would have lost some stature. So John was beheaded by the spirit of Jezebel. But God said again, in the last days, I'm going to send the spirit of Elijah again. And Elijah is going to contend, overcome, subdue, and destroy. Amen? All right, so we looked at some of the characteristics of this person, and as we look at the person, we can look at the spirit of the person. Number one, we talked about how boldness and courage are characteristics. The last days church will not be kicked around, thrown under the bus, the silence of the lambs, beaten up and destroyed. No, the last days church is going to carry the spirit of Elijah, which we do. And they will have courage and boldness to demonstrate, now catch this, to demonstrate the powers of the world to come. See, God doesn't throw you to the lions without angels being there with you to shut the mouths of the lions. He don't put you in the furnace to be burned up. Amen. So he doesn't pit you against the spirit of Jezebel and the spirit of Python and you not be totally equipped to destroy, amen, the works of the devil. So the Elijah company, number one, the first thing we looked at about Elijah and is very important, and the Elijah company. First of all, Elijah, when he appeared before Ahab, he said, "I come from standing in the presence of God." Now get this. This is important. The last days company, call them the Elijah company, Joshua company, whatever you want to call them, but the last days remnant are going to be those that are people of his presence. Amen. Amen. Not just carrying the logos, but also the rhema. Not just knowing what the word says, but actually carrying the presence. This last day revival and restoration is of the spirit and the word. We've been through a time where people knew the word. They were teaching the word, just teaching the word and teaching the word, but there were no manifestations. There was no life to follow it. There was no presence, just the word of God. It was right, it was the word. But see, this last days is a combination of not only the word, but the presence. Amen. God is going to sever his people from, I'm going to say, the Egyptians, or from the tear. The wheat will be severed. There will be a distinct difference. People won't just be quoting things and saying things that are scriptural. Anybody can do that. But are they people of the presence? Do they carry God's presence? Do they maintain and carry his presence at home? On the job, when nobody knows, when ain't nobody looking, when they're all by themselves, up late at night, are you a person of the presence? The Elijah company are those who stand in his presence. There's a deep relationship and abiding presence of God in operation. These are not intimidated. When you stand in the presence of God like Elijah, you are not intimidated. He said, I come before standing in the presence of God, and he said, it shall not rain at my word. I want to totally emphasize that. He didn't say, thus saith the Lord. And he didn't pray. Notice what he said. He said, it shall not rain at my word. He had to have a position in God to be God's mouthpiece. The word in his mouth was just as strong as the word in God's mouth. Come on, I'm telling you, there's a remnant people in the last days that are going to walk in these dimensions. But tell somebody, you got to get ready for it. It's not, it's like churches. I have no qualms against any churches that are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But some churches are the hand, some are the feet, some are the arm. They're different manifestations of the same spirit. But they're the same spirit. Everybody's not of this tribe. Everybody can hear what I'm saying. I got nothing wrong with that, but I hear what I'm saying because I hear what he's saying. So somebody out there and outside of these walls is going to hear what I'm saying because he's saying the same thing to them too. And I believe there's a remnant people. It doesn't make them any better. No, it's their call. See, the call is not just based upon your call. It's based upon your closeness. You can be called and not close. Many are called, but few are chosen. It's the ones that get close that get chosen. That's why it comes out of God's presence. You develop that. God's not going to twist your arm to pray. He's not going to wake up on Saturday morning. Unless you ask him to. Ask if he'll wake you up. Prayer meeting across the globe is probably one of the least attended. Oh, don't make me mad here now. Don't get me started now. And everyone shows up on Sunday. It's the least time of sacrifice. Because most people, unless they're working, or at the work, they, you know, it's the least amount of sacrifice. But what about those early morning prayer meetings? I'm reminded of what David said. He said, I'll not offer unto the Lord. Why you nickel and diamond God? Why are you so cheap with God? You want to throw him a bone. But yet you expect the best from him. It's not your call. It's your closeness. How close you want to get. The Israelites said, Moses, we don't want to hear. We're tired of you, Moses. Tell us all these commandments and stuff. We don't want to hear you anymore. We want to hear God for ourselves. But see, they hadn't gone through the paces. They hadn't gone through the training. Notice the moment they got out of Egypt, they start complaining about everything. Every time they came up to a problem or a situation, somebody said something they didn't like, something happened, they couldn't see. Moses, you brought us out here because there weren't enough grace in Egypt. So all along that time, they were not developing. They had no capacity. But yet they got mad with Moses and wanted to hear God for himself. And that's God's will, that everybody hear him for themselves. I said, that's God's will. But what you have in the body of Christ, you have 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Some people are satisfied with 30-fold. It's okay. Some 60, but there's a 100-fold company. Amen. Ah, help me, Holy Ghost. Maybe some of y'all ain't a 100-fold company. That's all right. Stay at 30. Stay at 60. Just keep your ticket to ride. So you got to get, so you going. I'm going. I got my ticket. Just keep that. But there's a remnant that's going to rise up. And they're rising up. And it's God that's raising them up because they have put in the time. Amen. They have given God something to work with. They have sacrificed their lives. Amen. It's God or bust. Y'all ain't hear me, see? I lost the 30-fold. let me get rid of the 60-fold too. So I just stay with the 100-fold here. It's his presence. It's sacrifice. I said something some time ago, and I heard one of our pastors mention it during the Pour the Oil conference, that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered.
Amen.
We learn obedience through what we suffer. But I want you to catch this. Once you learn obedience, the suffering ends.
Amen.
So now somebody else can be looking from the outside thinking you're going through, but you ain't suffering.
Amen.
You've learned obedience. Your obedience trumps your suffering. You would much rather obey God and go through whatever. It don't matter. Because your obedience has trumped that. Barry, that's a fly on the wall. But people were, oh, you know, no. To you, it's Paul learned the glory.
Amen.
But you learn obedience through what you suffer. But a lot of folk, they like the Israelites, they never gained capacity. So when God spoke, they ran.
Amen.
Tell somebody right now, stop running.
Amen.
I'm going way ahead of myself here. But you know what? When Jesus sent the disciples away. First of all, they wanted to make him a king by force. They got caught up with the crowd.
Amen. Amen.
You know, it's a big crowd. So this is the time. So they wanted to make Jesus a king by force. And Jesus told the disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side.
Amen.
And he sent the multitude away and then went up in the mountain to pray. Now that Sea of Galilee is 12 miles long and 7 miles wide. It's nighttime now. Darkness has fallen. Jesus hadn't come. So they're in the middle. They've rode, some commentaries say they've rode about 3 miles, 4 miles out. So they're in about the middle of the, and a storm is brewed and blowing. And water's coming in the boat. Everything, they've been tossed. And then Jesus sees them and starts walking on the water.
Amen.
To go to them. And they see him coming. And they start to scream and holler, and you know, they're fearful. They think it's a spirit. But Jesus says, fear not, it is I.
Thank you for listening to On to Perfection. If you would like to order today's message, or if you want more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.restlifefl.com. That's www.restlifefl.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.